Happy Friday, everybody. We are broadcasting live from Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes right here at Peachtree Industrial. Mike, man, you've been making your rounds. A lot of folks coming in, hanging out.
And, yeah, man, we got some great friends.
For the matches tonight.
Our man over here is on a conference call. You done on your conference call?
Who are you talking about?
That guy right there looks like Kobe. He's right there. Is he at the window?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's on a conference call.
Abe's in my way, by the way. Big shout out to Abe who made his way out here.
But we got a great crew, lovely ladies over here hanging out. They're like, what is this show? You guys know B103? That's not us. We're the sister. That's our sister station. We'd be the brother station, right, technically. But, 92.9 the game. Shout out to, at the bar, a Buckhead bartending legend, Jaeger. Our boy worked at Lulu's, worked at all the great bars in the old days, Carl. He was there those days when we were tripping the Light Fantastic with Brent Key and Shane Beamer in the old days of George Godsey at quarterback. And he said to us earlier, he goes, I heard Brent on the show talking about, you got my tab one night. He goes, that's nonsense. They never had a tab.
Brent was trying to make a little something there, huh?
No, we had that great days. And, again, it's a beautiful area now. But those who remember the good old days of all those amazing bars, if you lived here before the Olympics, I missed it. I got here after the Olympics. And, by the way, I've never seen Abe at a loss for words. Have you ever seen Abe Gordon at a loss for words?
What was he at a loss for words?
Well, before the last commercial break, Canada's playing Bosnia and Herzegovina up in Toronto right now, just started. And I go, let's go B&H. And he's just staring at me like, what? I go, I've got good friends from Bosnia. I've got a couple of good buddies who live in my building in Midtown. I told Carl I got to go to Sarajevo before the war in Yugoslavia started. Mm. Amazing city, great people. And I'm pulling for Bosnia. B&H, Carl. Let's go B&H.
Canada really has done anything in the World Cup, though, haven't they?
They do like we do.
They've never really done anything about what we do. Yeah, because I was
listening
to somebody maybe 2 days ago, and they were talking about all the teams, and they were saying they didn't expect Canada to have a good team.
Canada's women are better than Canada's men as far as Olympic competition and World Cup. Yeah, there you go.
Well, he's not speechless after all. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell.
I mean, rarely can I say something with Abe and go, oh, yeah, Bosnia, I know. He just stared at me blankly, but I'm pulling for B&H. Let's go Bosnia.
All right, we'll see. That match is going on. USA, by the way, tonight. All right, Paraguay tonight in L.A. SoFi, by the way, is where their World Cup journey will start. And I want to remind you guys, Atlanta's authority on baseball is 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley on Sundays all season long. Join him from the diamond, a comprehensive look at the Braves and Major League Baseball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get your guaranteed offer on your home from Mark Spain at markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. Sundays on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, look, there is a lot going on today. It's a big Friday. The Braves being postponed last night.
Yeah, maybe a good thing. Get out of Chicago before getting swept.
I was going to say, when that popped up on the screen, it was like Braves have been postponed. I was like, I'm not mad at that. Let's keep it moving.
No, I got to be honest with you. Yeah, it's just that's a team which is on the come. They've got a lot of young pieces. We saw their rookie hit the home run, the walk-off the other night off of Iglesias. So they've got some good things going on the south side of Chicago. But I'm with you. Now the Mets, the hapless Mets. Mets, as you said earlier, trying to get a spark, trying to salvage their season. They're going to do anything. It's got to start this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Against a division foe, head-to-head games. That's a full game, not a half game. So, look, for them, they're playing for their season at this point. Mm. They're trying to salvage their season. Hey, man, more on the Braves. Grant's going to join us later on. We'll talk about the pitching matchups as we head towards the weekend. More on Team USA and soccer. And where is it for you when you talk about your sports landscape?
Right.
Okay? Because for the next 6 weeks, it's going to be present, front and center.
Right.
But after that, you know, again, even with all the soccer we now have in the United States, Mike, I still don't know if Americans seek out international soccer.
Right. And I heard, you know, we had that conversation yesterday, and I heard Andy and Randy talking about it today. I mean, look, there's a type of athlete that we need to play soccer that doesn't play soccer. He's tough. He's physical. He's got a killer attitude. And I know we have those guys from time to time in our system, like Clint Dempsey. But for the most part, Carl, I'll die on that hill. If you take, you know, the athlete is going to be different because if you're playing soccer, you're not going to look like a linebacker, right? You're going to look more like a corner, right? Maybe a safety. You know, this style of, but we've got enough athletes. We got 175 million guys in this country. You're telling me we can't produce athletes that look better and have more, let's be honest, more, I don't know, gravitas, for lack of a better word, than some of these guys? No, these guys have made it all the way to European soccer. They're now playing for Team USA. But I look at that team and I go, I watched that HBO special. I don't think that's our best athletes, Carl.
Yeah.
Our best athletes are in the NFL, in the NBA, MLB, and then NHL, and then MLS. Keep that on the QT. Where do you fall on this? I mean, it's just, we just don't seem to get the juice.
Yeah, I think it's better than it's ever been, which is not, you know, that's, if you ask me, is it better than it was in 94? I would tell you,
right.
Yeah, right? Because I think that guys are training better, that there's more opportunity. So, yeah, it's better than what it was.
Is it too clubby, the way the former coach Bertoller,
yeah,
all that stuff, where it seems a bit incestuous how it's run.
Well,
it's very private.
For 20 years I had
soccer. Before the new coaches.
Yeah, but for 20 years, Mike, I had soccer fans upset with me because every year I would do a diatribe about how soccer's supposed to grow and overtake all these sports in America and how it's going to rule the world, specifically our sports atmosphere, and it still doesn't. And so every year I would do this whole big thing on soccer fans, come out and tell me and people would get so PO'd because it's the number one sport in the world. Nobody cares about the NFL anywhere else.
Right.
Okay, but NFL fans don't care about soccer anywhere else.
Right.
It's part of the problem. And I'm not saying that you don't like soccer, but you don't like it like you like the NFL, and that's America.
Right.
That's where we are. And my whole point was, until we get to that, where you give it as much energy as you give the NBA or the outside of college, you know, football, you're not doing that with soccer. There are more college football fans who are listening right now than I would tell you international soccer fans who are seeking out games on their cable networks.
Right, and look, I get it. You can go to any of your local neighborhood bars, whether it's a Manchester bar, a Liverpool bar, a Chelsea bar, and you got fans that are loyal and they know soccer, and they're on the radio right now, Carl, listening, tisting us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I look at our soccer team and I go, that's not America's best athletes. That's not America's. Put it this way. Let me rephrase the argument. Reframe the argument. Our badasses don't play soccer.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
You know, and we've talked about the system, and we've talked about how USA Soccer is built. You know, and where are the? Why can't we get kids from the inner? And I know we have more inner city kids playing it, and they do matriculate all the way to the national team, but our best athletes just don't play the sport. You just touched on it. And look, I'll take a knee on this one. I never missed a United match for 2 seasons. I haven't been to a United match in 2 seasons now. The thrill is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't lie to you. It was so exciting. We talked about those first 2 years, winning the title. I actually cut a trip with my in-laws for Christmas up in New York Shore to come back for the championship game because that's how important it was.
Oh, yeah.
Look, you know, and it just
– we were there. I mean, and look, just, 18 to me, was a big deal.
United just hasn't been the same since COVID.
Well, it felt like you had to be there. And, again, for season ticket holders, we know a lot of you folks.
We were them.
Well, yes. And I still go. I don't go as much as I did. But part of that is with any sports team. Make me want to be at your product. Make me want to go and see the star power that you have. That is what's been waning. Atlanta United specifically, and this is just a soccer conversation, generally speaking, guys, because the World Cup is underway, and obviously we're going to be talking a lot about it, covering it, and I do want Team USA to do as well as we possibly can.
Of course.
But there is a reason why we are not a perennial favorite. It's why there's England and Spain, Mike, and all of these other countries that they're talking about that are the favorites to win this thing. And so we've never been there. We're aspiring to. But with Atlanta United, I think part of the issue has been, Mike, we spent all this money on these designated players, which is where you should be spending the most money to bring in the guys who can do the special things.
Right.
And we failed. They've not been able to have those DPs like we did early on really make a difference. And again, you know, it's not taking a shot at any specific body or person, but that's kind of where Atlanta United has gone wrong. It's not the auxiliary pieces. Your DPs have just not been great.
Nope.
And that goes for 2 seasons, and then you're terrible defensively, you know, last season.
Right.
Even though Tata knows what he's doing, I don't know if he's got all the pieces he needs as he did before.
Right. And we love Tata and love the style. And I just thinking while we're having the conversation, I thought I brought this up to you the other day. The other thing, when Atlanta United launched, the Braves were in rebuild. Remember? It was wait till Truist Park. It was back. It was SunTrust, but then it was Truist. But it was like the Braves were kind of hitting rock bottom and coming back up. And certainly from, you know, worst to first, we know how that turned out. But it was like the right moment, the right time, you know, for MLS and for Atlanta United, the excitement about it. By the way, it could be worse. Italy hasn't made the World Cup now in three cycles.
I know, but that's –
I mean, and they're losing their minds over it.
Absolutely, because it's expected.
Right.
They're supposed to be good.
But we're generally, historically, the host countries do get some juice. In 1994, the big upset over Colombia was historic. But most folks feel we'll get to that second round. That's as far as we'll go.
We will see, man. We do have some brand names, Christian Pulisic being the biggest, obviously. But we do have some brand names and a lot of experience on this team. We'll see if you know, they can attack the way that I think you need to, Mike, in these World Cups. You just can't sit around and sit back. You've got to still score goals. And so we'll see how it all plays out. But that's part of our soccer conversation today, and you guys can chime in.
Yeah, I want to hear from you because I know we've got a lot of guys who their kids racially. But it's kind of like, will this give us something that we're actually coming back to work, you know, this weekend talking about?
Correct.
But you know, and there's a buzz around the water cooler. Did you watch this?
I want to be clear about this, though, and you can call me a liar. That's fine. Parents who have their kids play doesn't mean you care about soccer. It doesn't.
Right.
You're just having your kids play, okay?
Right.
If you are a soccer player and then your kids are playing and you have an influence on them and the direction you're pushing them and you want them to play soccer, maybe a little different. But I'm speaking for like 75% to 80% of the parents out there. Your kids play soccer, doesn't mean you care about it.
By the way, Spain, four, about just under 5-1. France, just same odds. England, about 5-7-1. Brazil, 7.50-1. Portugal, and of course, Argentina. By the way, we just talked about soccer. You Phil Jordan hair. I mean, there's about Messi moves the meter. Mm-hmm. Messi moves the meter down in Miami.
Yes.
And with Argentina, because you're watching Argentina, it's a classic brand. They're defending World Cup champions. But that atmosphere at Jordan Hare the other night was amazing against Iceland.
Well, I think that's what it's going to be, Mike, around the country. I really do. I think it's going to be that way at Mercedes-Benz. Because it is World Cup, they're going to pack these stadiums. But I'm going to tell you guys, look, England, I think, is going to take this thing home. I really do. I think England is the favorite, and they are really good.
USA's 50-1, by the way.
This is crazy. They've got all the tools, but we'll see. That's what makes it so fun, man, is this open competition and certainly getting to the next round. Hey, I want to remind you guys, as we have been talking today about all the Falcon news, Storm Norton, we just got done with Joe Patrick talking about it. Storm Norton done. That news hit yesterday when Mike and I got done up there at the lake at the Twisted Oar. And we were just saying, a guy said, how concerned are you guys about the O-line? And I was
always concerned about the O-line.
Yeah, because depth matters. It's not your starters, guys. It's what if. What if one of your main guys goes out for a couple of weeks? How does that affect your running game? How does it affect your pass protection? That's the thing. And if you don't have a guy that you feel very comfortable with as a backup, it causes problems. You're just not able to do the things you normally can do.
I did not have two players of the Chiefs playing on our offensive line on my bingo card.
Me neither.
As far as the depth chart. But more on what Joe Patrick had to tell us. And, you know, again, can't wait to see and be at camp and see this with my own eyeballs, how Penix Jr. looks versus Tua. Because I think by the time we're up there, it will be ready to go and it will be a true competition.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, that's going to be late July. We got mandatory mini camp next week. All right, we'll come back. I will tell you what one coach had to say about his quarterback and how bad he wants to keep him. But also, we'll get to the NBA Finals. Adjustments. It's all about adjustments. We'll talk about it next on Dukes and Bell.